One day on Walden Pond, 19th-century American writer Henry Thoreau watched the Battle of the Ants. For Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill, it was in the kitchen where the tiny critters seemed to reveal lessons of their own for the 21st century.
Ants recently invaded my house. I assumed they'd arrived well-fed. They expressed no interest in the crumbs around the toaster. They ignored fat left over in a can. I dispatched them and thought that was the end of it. One evening, I left watching the Republican convention on TV to go into the kitchen. A large swarm of ants had gathered on the counter. When I opened the dishwasher, more were darting frantically inside the unit. This was a task for professionals. I called pest control. Ants are versatile. Amazing, really. They swim, fly, build bridges, do battle, farm, harvest, and dig tunnels of remarkable lengths. Unlike we do, however, ants don't practice gender discrimination. In fact, the life of the colony revolves around a female, the queen. She keeps the colony focused and on task. In this regard, at least, Democrats may behave more like ants than Republicans. I saw similarities between ant activity in the convention on TV. At the convention, droves of individuals swarmed about. I couldn't tell what they were doing, what they were up to, except for some sounds delegates made. Delegates either cheered, booed, or hissed. Booing censures a member of the assembly who doesn't get with the program. Cheers affirm others. This could never happen with ants. Every ant knows its place. No ant would insinuate itself into the colony to criticize its deliberations, as I saw one of the speakers do at the Republican convention. An ant in sheep's clothing is unheard of. Social groups are plagued regularly with loose cannons that do not go along with the program. Ants, however, always cooperate. All ants are committed members that function as smoothly together as a well-oiled machine. The ants on my counter return every day, determined and good to go. This suggests to me that ants don't have a law and order problem. Apparently, they have no perverse members on the team, or even criminals to mess things up. Sadly, our organizations, political ones especially, are loaded with both. Ants don't think abstractly. Just who in their colony may be full of it, or who is crooked or a liar, would never arise. Ants know who they are and also who the others are. They are confident of their identity and don't need to step on others to prove it. You and I are as social as ants. Although we're best in a community, some of us can survive on our own. An ant, however, will die alone. When two or three ants are gathered together, they can solve almost any problem. When we assemble in groups, we don't solve that much. I've read about survivalists who build their yurts deep in the woods. They stock up on guns, blankets, canned goods, and lots of coffee. Constant vigilance, staying awake, aids their survival. And they do just fine. Like fire ants, though, they're best left at a distance. Ants could care less who wins the presidential election, with perhaps this caveat. If Republicans win, traditionally staunch defenders of big corporations like chemical industries, ants would be in jeopardy. Chemicals did in lots of our insects before Rachel Carson got on the industry's case. Who'd be left to lobby for ants against big business now? Or maybe I'm just making mountains out of anthills. George Merrill on the shore.